Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius, and today we are going to dive into a great conversation around challenges and backing up AI and specifically large language models. So this will be a very exciting conversation, and I am happy to be having this conversation with Phil Goodwin, who is Research Vice President over at IDC. This is his second or third time here. I can't remember. Phil, how many times have you been on?
I want to say this is the third, Demetrius.
Okay, see, we can't get enough of Phil here and his...
Hey, it's great to see you back after your hiatus. I mean, I was excited to see DP Gumbo coming back.
Okay. Yeah, we love it. Just make sure you spread the word. We need to get our YouTube subscribers up. We're only like 60. Yeah. So start off by just give us an update. What can you say about what you're working on right now or something that you are excited about at the moment that you can share that's not sensitive?
Yeah, there are probably several interesting areas that are really the top of our research agenda right now. Obviously, I mean, you can't go anywhere without talking about data protection for ransomware. So that's still top of mind for just about everybody. And that bleeds into other topics around AI, you know, how you use AI for ransom environments or, you know, detecting ransomware, recovering from ransomware, stuff like that. We also are doing a lot of research on operating system environments, you know, mm-hmm. how people are deciding to deploy them, why they would deploy Windows versus Linux, paid Linux versus unpaid Linux, support models, things like that, as well as containerization. And that also has implications for AI. So, you know, all these kind of things are really tied together. But those are the kind of research things we're working on, Demetrius.
Okay. Awesome. And you've been at this for a while, so you truly understand the industry and kind of what's going on because you have your fingers and the pulse on everything.
I hate to admit how long I've been in this, Demetrius, but it's now 42 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You got me beat quite by a lot.
Yeah, almost everybody.
All right. So let's dive into some of the challenges around backup and also making sure that AI environments are protected from lots of different types of threats that are out there because the landscape has changed. It's not just about taking a copy of your data and sending it offsite to a vault somewhere. There has to be some more sophisticated and automated ways in order to make sure that the business survives, right? Because everything is digital. But I do want to get your opinion on some of the unique challenges that you've seen that come along with backing up AI environments and particularly large language models compared to some of the traditional backup methods that are out there.
Yeah, and I think it is a topic worth talking about because a lot of people honestly haven't really given a lot of thought to it. You know, when we talk about AI for data protection, usually the conversation goes one of two ways. Either using AI for anomaly detection, mm-hmm. which is great, or using Gen AI for support and things like that. And those are all very valid use cases. But we find that most IT organizations are not really savvy to what it takes to protect the learning modules that they're building or that they're using. And there are a couple of things that go into it that make it different from a typical backup environment. You know, in a typical backup environment, you're backing up at a specific point in time. Mm-hmm. You're backing up either, you know, a partial data set that you use to stitch together for a full restore if you need to, or you're backing up the entire environment with the expectation that you're going to restore whole files or whole objects or whole data sets or things like that. When you get into a large learning module or even a not large, a regular learning module of a more normal size, it becomes different. And that's because these learning modules have data feeds that are coming in usually from different places. Mm-hmm. Could be internal data lakes. It could be an external data feed, things like that. But they're all going on simultaneously. So the other aspect of it is, in many cases, they're built on microservices, in other words, containers. So they start taking on some of the traits that one would see for a container backup, the key being able to back up to a specific state and not just backing up the data. Because when we restore these learning modules, just as when we restore containers, we need to be able to restore state. We need to be able to restore to what that environment was at that point in time.
So it's kind of the stateful versus stateless workload,
Yes.
if you're talking containers, right?
That's right. What was the state of the operating environment at the time? We all know that Kubernetes is very dynamic, constantly being updated. So if you try to restore something from a month ago, Kubernetes is different now than it was a month ago. So you have to be able to restore the Kubernetes environment and the operating environment at the same time to be able to get that specific point of state.
Okay, so how are people doing it today? Are they just scripting it or using some type of generic automation, open source, or what? What? How can someone who, and someone meaning like large organizations or even smaller ones who are building these AI agents, right? That's kind of what they're calling them, and they need a large language model behind them in order to provide that isolated specific data that the company can use that's free from the public, right? That no one can get to but them. So how are they protecting that today, or are they not protecting it?
In many cases, honestly, they're not. Some organizations simply take the approach that if they need to rebuild it, they will. But you bring up a really good point, Demetrius, in that when people are building these models, data, you're trying to keep the data clean, but you've got different feeds. The data could be coming from an internal source or an external source or multiple of both. And so you have the problem where you may be injecting PII data or, regulated data or intellectual property or even malicious data may be getting infected. One of the challenges for that is when you detect those issues, you can restore back to a specific point in time. But if you do that, let's suppose I have three data feeds and I determine that data feed number two is corrupt, and that it became corrupt, say, I don't know, 6 hours ago. I can restore to 6 hours ago, but if I do, I've lost all the data that's been fed in from feed number one and number three. So I really need to be able to take out that portion of data without losing all the other data. It's like saying I need to restore the alphabet except for the letters G, M, and X. And that's not the way we typically approach backup. We usually approach it as we're going to restore the entire data set or the volume or the object or whatever it happened to be, not individual pieces. There are some cases where we do that, and malware is one of them, where we find infected files and we block that file from being restored. But those are the kinds of principles we need to bring along when we're talking about protecting AI environments.
Okay, so who's doing this today? And I know someone has some type of technology that's capable of making sure that your LLMs are protected.
Yeah, honestly, one of the companies that I think is at the forefront, at least from a thought leadership standpoint, and really articulating their vision for this is Dell Technologies. And what they articulated at Dell Tech World last spring out in Las Vegas. You also have other companies working on this. Commvault is certainly one of them. Rubrik is one of them. Cohesity is one that has AI capabilities. So there are a number of vendors out there that are working on this, but in varying degrees, because there are really three major use cases for AI, Demetrius. One is, how do I do better? How do I provide better backup? Using Gen AI, for example, to create runbooks or to create better support models, to do self-support, things like that. Then there's AI anomaly detection. How do I find the bad guys? In ways that they've never attacked me before. And then, of course, the learning module itself.
And so, yeah, you rattled off some great companies, ones that have been out there doing the great work of backup, right? And they are also evolving as well, because I remember when we were strictly talking, just making a copy of the data to a tape, right? Sending it to a vault, making multiple copies, 3, 2, 1, and the list goes on, 3, 2, 1, 1. Throw as many numbers as you like at it, but at the end of the day, if you're not able to capture that data and you can't provide that granular restore, and then we could go into all different types of things, right? Immutability and air gap, and I mean, it's a lot out there. But I did want to also ask you something around like state preservation, because when you're talking Kubernetes and you're talking containers, the state is real interesting, right? You got to have the conversation around what that data looks like at that particular moment. So you also mentioned something around, I remember we were talking around preserving not just the data, but the system state at that particular point in time. Can you explain how this is handled in practice?
It really requires tools that are specifically designed for that native Kubernetes environment, because they do understand under the covers what that state is. And a couple examples I can give you would be Kasten from Veeam, as well as Portworx from Pure. Those are two of the tools that are out there today that are native Kubernetes backup environments.
And a big congratulations and shout out to Niraj
Oh,
Tolia,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah, Niraj is back with Veeam with another company. So he's back with
He's a man. All right. So sorry about that. I just had to put a plug in for
it. No,
him.
yeah. So, it is a different animal. Honestly, what a lot of organizations do today is use their standard backup tool and simply back up the data. I think as we put more and more Kubernetes workloads into production, we'll find that that really isn't sufficient, and that you do need native tools, just as we needed native tools for virtual environments. So it's still evolving, probably slower than honestly I had forecast that it would, but it is moving progressively on to where we're getting more and more production workloads using containers and Kubernetes.
And so we all know that there's a race to build who's ever building the AI agent the fastest and putting out some type of AI product, right? Especially backup companies, right? Everyone's racing to put out this copilot or this agent, and it's continuing to kind of be this table stakes conversation where everyone's going to have it. So, just from that perspective, where do you see the hockey puck going, just from an overall perspective within the industry, especially the backup and recovery industry? So, everyone's chasing AI right now. Is it going to increase and start to get even more scattered, just from that perspective?
Yeah, at IDC, we obviously believe that AI is certainly a long-term future. But typically, we get a little too excited, a little, to use the analogies, a little too far over our skis as far as what we think the uptake is going to be. So I would say the uptake is not going to be nearly as fast as we think it is, but it's inevitable. So there are a couple of cautions I would give to IT organizations as they organize these, or as they look at these systems. And that is, with all the hype around AI, not everything labeled AI is truly AI. It doesn't mean it's bad, but you have to understand what you're buying. And the way to understand that, if you have someone says, yeah, we use AI to do X, Y, and Z, well, what's your learning model, and how do you feed it? How does it learn? And if you kind of get that deer in the headlights look, you know that there's really nothing behind it. If they can articulate what it is, then it's real. Now, if it isn't real, it might be a great expert system. It might be machine learning. It may be something that's perfectly valid, but it's not necessarily AI. So it's really understanding what it is and what it can do. With respect to your particular question, I think, Demetrius, what we're seeing is the early implementations are around the AI, not around the anomaly detection,
Yeah.
the data level. Where I think it is starting to go is more at the behavioral level. And what I mean by that is, when we're detecting data anomalies, we're looking for encryption, we're looking for changes in I/O patterns, in data access patterns, data movement patterns, things like that.
All the heuristics, right?
Exactly. But in many cases, the attack is taking place because somebody compromised somebody's credentials. So if I'm the admin and I behave in a certain way, I work weekdays, I manage these particular systems and so on and so forth, and all of a sudden it looks like I'm working maybe evenings and weekends, maybe I'm accessing systems I haven't accessed previously, things like that. There may be valid reasons for that. Maybe I got promoted, maybe I'm a different shift, whatever it might be. But it also could be that somebody compromised my credentials and now they're starting to move around the system and it looks like me. So it's those kind of behavioral things that I think are the next forefront. Longer term, what gets me the most excited is the ability to do an AI-driven data recovery. And what I mean by that is, when the bad guys attack you, you don't always know what has been compromised. But it would be great to have an AI system be able to figure that out and guide the recovery so that you're not spinning your wheels doing things you don't need to do, and that you're focusing really on what's been compromised and the appropriate restore point.
Yeah, you know what I call that? I call that self-aware backup.
Yeah,
So
that's a good name for it.
one day in the near future, we may not even need software, backup software. AI will know what type of application it is, know the best way to protect that application, know the critical files, know how to piece or stitch everything back together. And whatever it loses, it knows how to recover that file, put this back in place. And I mean, it's going to be amazing. I can see it. And whoever invents that, and maybe AI will invent it, right?
Yeah, maybe I'll figure it out
Yeah,
itself.
maybe AI will
Absolutely.
figure it out and just because you watched that movie Transcendence, right?
No, I haven't seen that one.
You gotta watch that movie. I keep telling you about it. I think I
I'll
told you
put it in my
about it
list.
last time with Johnny Depp,
Yep.
right? 2014. It
Yeah,
is. It's scary because it was made 10 years ago, and it really seems like we're headed that way.
interesting. I'll
So.
watch that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you one other thing as well. So, ransomware is you think bad guys are going to go after LLMs because we hadn't heard really any stories about, yeah, this large language model was hit. We're hearing backups that attackers are going after backups, but I don't think we've quite heard that they're going after LLMs. Is that something that you think is going to kind of happen in the future?
It will happen at an increasing rate. And what we anticipate those attacks to look like is the injection of false data so that the AI model starts spewing garbage or hallucinations or whatever it might happen to be. Because to find those pieces of data can be extremely difficult. And, of course, organizations will figure out how to do it, but in many cases, we find that organizations pay the ransom simply to get a faster recovery. And if they pay the bad guys to take the bad data out, I think that will be a common attack theme in the future. I do want to throw in one thing that's kind of tangential to this, Demetrius.
Sure.
And I had a conversation with one of these cyber experts a couple of weeks ago. The white hat guys that wandered around in the dark web looking for trying to figure stuff out. And what that is, the one thing the bad guys haven't figured out yet is an air gap. They're working on it, but they have not yet figured out how to compromise and to defeat the air gap. So, in terms of data survival, that air gap is absolutely your best opportunity to be able to recover your data without having to pay the ransom.
And that's probably the physical air gap,
Yes,
right?
correct. Not
Because
logical. Yes,
I'm
physical.
sure the logical, the software one, whatever name you want to give, I'm sure that one will probably eventually be figured out. Because if it can be coded, then what makes you think that AI can't do it, right?
Yeah, you're right. And the AI or the bad guys, the attackers, especially the state-sponsored attackers, are absolutely leveraging AI for ever more creative ways to attack organizations.
Okay. Awesome. One more question for you. So the conversation just around governance. So when you talk AI, we're kind of in the infancy stages around artificial intelligence and compliance and regulations and governance and all of that. Where do you see that just in the near future? Because I think there may only be a couple regulations out there dealing with AI, but I'm sure there will be more to actually start popping up.
Yeah, and that becomes complicated because we talk about governance as though it's a single entity. And there are elements of governance that apply to backups and to infrastructure. And that can be, the protection of being able to mask PII or other sensitive personal information, as well as data sovereignty, things that we have to honor in that regard. But there's a whole world of governance that goes on beyond the infrastructure level that the guys like me don't see. And as you're saying, Demetrius, that's in the learning modules. It's in at the data science level. It's at the application level. It's at the geographic level. So organizations need to understand where the governance applies when it's applying to infrastructure, when it's applying to backups, when it's applying to learning modules, to data lakes, and so on and so forth. Those rules are different and they need to be applied and implemented differently.
And that's what I'm seeing too, is that cybersecurity and backup and recovery is merging. It's becoming one. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone threw out a new term that brought backup and recovery with cybersecurity together and just gave it a whole new name and a whole new
We're taking
category.
nominations, Demetrius, so.
Right. Yeah. I'll think about it, and maybe I'll throw it out, and I can be the father of this term. Like,
That's right.
what's his name? Hinton, Godfather of AI. I forgot his
Something
name,
like
man.
that, yeah.
All right. Any shout outs or anything that you are excited about that you want to draw some attention to while I have you here?
Just the return of DP Gumbo, I think it's fantastic. I love doing with the program, and it's always fun to come on and chat with you.
I appreciate having you on. It's always insightful to learn from you because you're definitely looking ahead, and you have lots of conversations. So your perspective is always one that I respect because I know that you are really gathering the insight from everyone that you talk to, and you are talking to some very smart individuals like that white hat hacker, good guy that you were talking to.
Yeah. People
But
much smarter than I am, trust
people
me.
much smarter than all of us, right? So yeah, I appreciate that. And before I let you go, I do want to let the Gumbo listeners know about the YouTube channel. We are 60 plus subscribers at the moment, so feel please spread the word, share it, go check it out on YouTube. So I do post each episode on YouTube as well. And we do have that backup and recovery professionals group on LinkedIn. It's almost 27,000 people now. It's
Wow.
growing very, very quickly. So Phil, thank you again for being a guest here, and we'll have to get you back maybe a fourth time in the new year.
Absolutely. Be a pleasure.